For November the 17th on the Barn Burner TV network and Zingo TV channel 250. This show can be seen on Roku and Roku Fire TV sticks and Amazon Fire TV sticks and on Zingo TV on Chromecast and all smart TVs 2016 forward. Please remember to download the Barn Burner and Zingo TV apps in their respective app stores. Both are free on both iOS and Android devices. While you are using, please remember to rate and leave a comment so we know that you are enjoying them and getting the most out of your usage. So that being said, again, welcome to the NWHO Cool Down. It is a chilly afternoon in the GTA, yet a sunny one. So with that being said, it's also a busy and packed show. So let's get right down to it. We start with the Buffalo Buttes, who added on their fourth sponsor for the year, and it is their third small business sponsor. So that being said, we're going to delve right into this. The Buffalo Buttes are proud to announce a partnership with Nickel City Alchemy, who is an official small business partner of the Buffalo Buttes and an official supporter of women's and girls hockey. If you are looking for handcrafted natural magnesium balms and essential oils, there are more than a dozen locations in Western New York that carry the products. You can also order directly from their website at nickelcityalchemy.com. They set us up with some amazing recovery balms for each of our players this season too. The Buffalo Buttes say you won't be disappointed. If you would like to become a Buttes small business sponsor as well, please visit their website at buttes.nwhl.zone/sponsors. So that is from the Buffalo Buttes organization with regards to their first small business sponsor. So the other one that they announced recently was November 9th. And so they read from the Facebook page of the Buffalo Buttes. We are proud to announce that Happy Home Exteriors is an official small business partner of the Buttes and an official supporter of women's and girls hockey. If you need help with siding, windows, and other exterior maintenance at your home or business, please give them a call at 716-946-2780 or visit their website at www.happyhomeexteriorsllc.com. If you would like to become a Buttes small business partner too, please visit their team sponsorship page. Again, that's buttes.nwhl.zone/sponsors. So I think that kind of tells you right there and then how this works. So, you know, please, if you're wanting to support women's hockey and want to know how to, that is your best way too. So that being said, let's get into another announcement. And this one was made by the Metropolitan Riveters just earlier this morning. So with that being said, let's get right into that. All right. So the Metropolitan Riveters announced today a partnership with Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, which is Horizon BCBSNJ, for the upcoming National Women's Hockey League season. In this significant sponsorship of the Riveters, New Jersey's largest health insurance carrier, and the women's pro hockey team will jointly promote health initiatives across the Garden State. Horizon BCBSNJ will work alongside Riveters players, coaches, and staff to promote the integration of physical and mental health. So, in a statement from Christopher M. Lepre, who is the Executive Vice President of Commercial Business for Horizon BCBSNJ, he said, "Few sports can match the thrills and excitement of professional hockey, and no team but the Metropolitan Riveters brings the action of women's hockey right into New Jersey fans' own backyard." So, furthering to that, as I read now from the press release, Kate Whitman Annis, the general manager of the Riveters, says, "We are incredibly excited to announce this historic partnership. Among our players' biggest passions is working to end the stigma around mental health in sports. With Horizon's long history of promoting health and wellness initiatives and its commitment to behavioral health in particular, this partnership will move the conversation forward in New Jersey." So, Horizon BCBSNJ, again, will work alongside Riveters players, coaches, and staff to promote the integration of physical and mental health. Among the many media assets of the partnership, Horizon BCBSNJ will be the presenting sponsor of the starting lineup for all Riveters home games at Montclair State Ice Arena and be a sponsor of a Riveters digital newsletter that will get going in January. So, I've read the statement, and if you would like to learn more about Horizon BCBSNJ, their services, and their mission, please go to horizonblue.com. The Isabel Cup champions in 2018, the Riveters began training and practices last month in preparation for the upcoming NWHL season, the League 6th. So To give you a little bit of background on Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, they are, again, the state's oldest and largest health insurer, and they are a tax-paying, not-for-profit health service corporation providing a wide array of medical, dental, vision, and prescription insurance products and services. Horizon BCBSNJ is leading the transformation of healthcare in New Jersey by working with doctors and hospitals to deliver innovative patient-centered programs that reward the quality, not quantity, of care patients receive. Learn more at www.horizonblue.com. Horizon BCBSNJ is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, serving approximately 3.5 million members. So that gives you a little bit of background on the announcement there. So again, it's a great initiative when you can support women's hockey in any way, and the NWHL seems to be racking up sponsorships now, more so team by team, after watching the league go and have an awesome off season, picking up such sponsors such as Stark Hockey, Blade Tech, among others, to support equipment for the players across the league's six teams. So that being said, the Riveters weren't really done there yet, as speculation has risen through the internet, I would say, as the NWHL website lists defender Ali Olnowich as the latest addition. However, Dan Rice reports that while there's been no press release or announcement yet to this point, she's also not yet skating with the team, so that is not current. And speaking with him last night briefly, he also said that nothing is imminent there, so we shall continue to await and see what happens to that point. So, I think I'm going to quickly read out her statistics. That way, when she does sign, there's a sense of readiness to that degree. So to that point, Ali Olnowich, or Olnowich rather, again, a graduate of Syracuse University. So I shall go through her page on Elite Prospects. She is a native of Chatham, New Jersey. So, okay, she played 23 games in her first season, 2016-17. No further statistics were displayed. 2017-18, she played 34 games with one goal for 1 point, along with 10 penalty minutes and a plus-minus of plus one. So 2018-19 saw her play 38 games with 2 goals and 3 assists, which made for 5 points in 10 penalty minutes and a plus-minus rating of minus five. Her last season, 2019-20, she played 36 games with 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points, along with 6 penalty minutes and a plus-minus rating of 1. Now, she would join Brooke Avery, another graduate of Syracuse University, while in the National Women's Hockey League itself, Lindsay Eastwood from the Syracuse University, and now with the Toronto Six of the NWHL, the league's newest expansion team. So, that gets you prepared for the player that she is. She is 22 years old, stands at 5'7 and 171 centimeters. So at 22 years old, she could be an awesome addition to the Riveters organization whenever this starts to be looked at more seriously in the week and or weeks to come. So, all right, let's keep moving. Just given that there's so much that happens on any given week in women's hockey, as we seem to know. So the Boston Pride unveiled new home and away jerseys for the 2020-21 season just last week. So with that said, they are the latest team to unveil new home and away jersey kits for the 2020-21 season. The Connecticut Whale have already done so. The Toronto Six have done so. We'll continue to see more as the season progresses. So this was written by Casey Bryant for the Ice Garden, and so I'm going to read off his descriptions, which kind of give you an idea of what we're looking at for perhaps the most professional team in the National Women's Hockey League. So, bright yellow is a hallmark of the Boston Pride's aesthetic, and it's the cleanest it's ever been in the newest design. At first glance, the hue has been toned down more to a gold shade as opposed to the neon of the last two seasons, a change which works very well with the black and white piping along the chest. Speaking of, I'm a total sucker for mid-sweater stripping. It's such a classic hockey look, reminiscent of the game's origins. Ironically, the first team that comes to mind when considering the history of that look is Boston's arch-rival, the Montreal Canadiens. Les Canadiens de Montréal also adopted that look in the CWHL, as have several other NHL clubs, looking for a throwback in a winter classic setting. See 2009 Blackhawks, 2020 Predators, etc. So, he goes on to say, but something about this old school design feels very modern. Using two colors for the stripping as opposed to just white or black is a uniquely slick look, and that crest ties everything together perfectly. Couple that with solid white numbers and no extraneous stripes or slash marks obscuring the view, and this is a heck of a design. The road sweater. The NWHL has never shied away from daring in their sweaters. They have liberally used watermarks and patterns to break up the monotony of a base, as they did with the National All-Star jerseys and their new white Toronto Six alternate jerseys. While personally the white Six sweater is a bit much for my taste, it's refreshing to see such bold chances taken in a generally stylistically stagnant sport. So, Brian continues, what the Pride have done with their road jersey is combine the NHL's two ideas of high fashion, regurgitating designs from 20 years ago and black alternates. So they've taken the black base and added the color gradient from the Vancouver Canucks 2001 sweater to make a gradual black to gold fade. Does it work? Certainly better than other attempts at gradient designs of light. Looking at you, Tampa Bay Lightning, and then there is an image of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he goes on to write, the piping is limited to two thin stripes of yellow on the sleeve with nothing but a Boston word mark on the chest. The minimalist approach on the front will likely resonate with the local college hockey fans in Beantown, Boston University, Boston College, and Harvard. All have sweaters with just text on the front, no logo. The thing with gradients is that they have to mesh well. The Canucks navy to burnt red was horrible. Tampa's black to silver was boring. Black to gold, though, pops well enough and is minimalized to the bottom third of the torso, as opposed to a 50-50 split making it neater and less obstructive. Vancouver is reportedly giving the gradient look another go with their current color scheme too. Hopefully Adidas studies these closely to get it right. Now, the last section of this article is called Miscellaneous Musings. The Boston Pride team store has both designs up for sale with full customization designs available. Unless I'm mistaken, this is the first time that an NWHL team has offered personalization options for fans beyond rostered players. It's such a seemingly simple yet crucial step forward for the fan experience in merchandising. Not to mention the luxury of choice. Hallelujah for choice. The league equipping each team with home and away kits is a godsend. And in the case of the Boston Pride's blending of the classic with the revolutionary, both options are sure to be a hit with the fan base. So that to be said, we're going to keep moving on just because, again, we have a lot to get to today in terms of busyness and the volume of which things started flowing in earlier this week. So I think with that being said, we are going to now take it down towards the release of Dani Ryland from her role as commissioner. So that being said, we're going to get right into an article that, again, Dan wrote. So he wrote this on November 13th, just a couple days ago, and it reads like this. Today, November 13th, marks 1 month since the NWHL announced that its founder, Dani Ryland Kearney, was stepping down from her role as commissioner, but she isn't going very far. In fact, she will still be doing a lot of the work she was trying to balance while running the league as president of the original ownership group, and that is called Women's Hockey Partners. Ryland Kearney will continue to seek independent ownership for the four teams, Buffalo Buttes, Connecticut Whale, Metropolitan Riveters, and Minnesota Whitecaps, that are still owned by the league. The Six and the Boston Pride are currently owned by independent groups. We would like to thank Dani for her role in founding the league and bringing it to where it is today. She has made an enormous impact on women's hockey and led the NWHL from inception through its first five seasons, setting the stage for the next phase of growth, said Andy Skurdo, a member of the Board of Governors. He's joined by John Boynton and a couple others. On the same day, the league also announced that Tyler Tuminio would be taking over as interim commissioner. She most recently served as a chairperson of the Toronto Six, the NWHL's newest team, which launched in April and has a lot of experience as a front office executive. This is a time of opportunity and transformation for the NWHL, and the changes we are making across the league will fortify a foundation for continued success well into the future, said Tuminio in the press release. Ryland Kearney wasn't quoted in the press release, but did take to Twitter to share some of her thoughts, Rice said. So those tweets go, as announced by the league today, I'm now the president of the ownership group operating the Ribs, Whale, Buttes, and Whitecaps. As we continue to build our four teams, we will find independent ownership groups for them. I'm extremely proud of what the NWHL has achieved, grateful to the fans, players, partners, staff, and WoHo Media, and I am more inspired than ever to play my part in the continued development of hockey for all. So the Hockey Writers reached out to one player from each of the six NWHL teams over the past month to get their thoughts on the biggest news of the offseason. In doing so, we covered a lot of ground, from players about to make their NWHL debut to players who have been with the league for a handful of seasons. Some gave encyclopedic answers, thank you, Allie, in brackets, and others kept it short and sweet. But one thing was certain. They all have a ton of respect for the founder of the league, and they are so proud to be a part of it as they look to advance the women's hockey game to the next level. So we start with Jenna Rolt from the Boston Pride, who is a defender. Rolt will be entering her second season as a pro after being drafted 25th overall from the University of New Hampshire by Boston in the 2018 NWHL draft. So she said, although I know Tyler Tumenia will be a great fit as the new NWHL commissioner, there was definitely a mix of emotions when I heard that Danny was stepping down, because she has been a true trailblazer for the future of women's hockey through her work with the NWHL. It is an honor to play in a league that was founded by such a confident woman who is a force to be reckoned with. Now, she continues to say, not only has she handled the highs and lows of progressing professional women's hockey with poise and resilience, but she has grown this league exponentially within the 6 years of its existence. So Rolt would conclude, there's no doubt in my mind that the current and future players of this league will be thanking her for years to come for all the hard work that she has put in to create this professional stage. I wish her the best of luck in her next chapter. Thank you, Danny. So next we go to Kayla Manigan from the Buffalo Buttes. She is a forward, and this is her third year as a pro and her first in Buffalo. She played her first two with the Connecticut Whale. Manigan signed with the Whale in 2018 as an undrafted free agent after a stellar career at SUNY Plattsburgh. So to that note, Manigan goes on to say, whether Danny is the commissioner of the league or not, she is a huge part of this league succeeding. I'm extremely excited to see her in a new role where she can focus on overseeing operations and focusing on finding ownership for current NWHL teams. She is a hard worker that has shown as we head into our sixth season. I can't wait to see what more she can do for women's hockey and our league going forward. With that being said, we move on to Hannah Beattie, who is a defender from the Connecticut Whale. Beattie will be entering her fourth season as a pro after signing with Connecticut as an undrafted free agent back in 2017. The Williams College grad has been an asset with her ability to play both defense and forward. So Beattie says, Danny has played an instrumental role in spearheading the growth and development of girls and women's hockey. She has devoted so much time and energy in creating and building the NWHL and has been a fearless leader throughout her time as commissioner. Now, Beattie would continue to say, I will forever be grateful for her efforts in giving me a chance to play competitively beyond college, and I truly admire her courage, passion, and grit. With the NWHL adopting a new governance model, I'm confident Danny will succeed in her new role, leading each team towards private ownership, and I'm excited for what the future of this league holds. With that said, we move on to Mallory Rushton, a forward from the Metropolitan Riveters. So Rushton will be entering her second season as a pro after signing with the Riveters as an undrafted free agent from RIT. Rushton says, I think Danny has worked so hard for our league to get to where it is today. She has created something so special that I believe will impact future generations and continue to thrive. Rushton continues, I look forward to seeing Danny finding new opportunities in the league for players, staff, and investors in her new position. I cannot wait to see where her leadership and dedication takes the Riveters, Buttes, Whale, and Whitecaps next. We can't thank her enough and look forward to seeing Tyler take over as commissioner. Now, from Ali Thunstrom, who perhaps gave the most encyclopedic answer, as Dan Rice alluded to. But before I do so, Thunstrom will be entering her third season as pro and coming off of a season where she was co-MVP of the league and set an NWHL record for goals in a single season with 24. So that said, Thunstrom said, first and foremost, I need to thank Danny for everything she has done for this league and women's hockey in general. She had a dream of creating a professional league where female players got paid to do what they love, and she accomplished that. She has given each one of us the platform and ability to achieve our childhood dreams of becoming pro hockey players, and I will forever be thankful for having that opportunity and getting to be a part of that. For future generations of girls, future generations of girls now have something tangible to look up to and aspire to be, and that's so incredibly special, it's hard to put into words. I'm super excited about her new position as president of the ownership group for the league's own teams. I have no doubt her passion, tenacity, and intelligence will continue to create an atmosphere that we are proud to play in. I can't wait to see what she does with this role. Now, Speaking about Tyler Tuminia taking her place as commissioner going forward, Thunstrom concluded in saying, "The appointment of Ty as interim commissioner is super exciting as well because it speaks volumes to the advancement of the league and opens the door to so many possibilities with her tremendously successful background in sports and minor league baseball, which is somewhere where Tyler Tuminia worked for several years and had much success in different roles." So that said, we move forward to one final quote from Thunstrom that says, "In the few conversations I've been privileged enough to have with her, I'm inspired by her confidence, her knowledge and understanding of sports business, as well as her empathy and care for players. I think she will be an excellent addition to our strong leadership core." Now, this article concludes with Lindsay Eastwood, a defender for the Toronto Six. Eastwood will be entering her first season as a pro after a four-year career at Syracuse University, where she was a captain her junior and senior seasons. So, Eastwood said, "I'm very thankful for Danny Ryland Kearney's efforts that has taken the NWHL this far. Her dedication to growing women's hockey is really inspiring to see. It's also great to hear that she will continue on her mission to grow the league by transitioning to president of the original ownership group as she helps to establish independent ownership for those teams." So, you know, obviously, we've been talking about this transition for quite some time now, but there is a real sense of gratitude. And you know, why wouldn't there be? I mean, look at it this way. Danny Ryland has done tremendous things for this league, from getting it to, you know, excellent marks of sponsors, being able to pay the players, you know, expand into two markets, Minnesota and Toronto. You know, in six seasons, I don't think you would really see that in many other spots. So I think that, you know, doing this was awesome. And when you look at the CWHL, sure, they had expansion teams over time. But I think this is kind of a new mark on the future for women's hockey. And I think that that's really promising and kind of where they were trying to hit the mark. So obviously something really special. And, you know, this is, I mean, going to be hopefully really successful in the years to come. So we'll see what happens there. But for now, you know, we see teams practicing and we see backers such as, for example, Duncan, Twitch, Hyper Ice, Maygray Group, Rocket Sports, Sparks, and K1 Sportswear as some of the leading backers of the league. And, you know, look, none of this would have happened without Danny Ryland in the corner of all players as the leading voice and figure behind the National Women's Hockey League. So, you know, to that end, a special thank you to Danny Ryland Kearney for everything that she has done. That being said, let's move along to the next article, which is, "In the midst of a pandemic, NWHL preparing for sixth season." And this is from Melissa Burgess for thevictorypress.org. So, that being said, I'm going to get right into this article, which is about the training aspect of all teams right now and where they kind of stand. We have to remember that mandatory skates started back on October 19th for the entire team to be together in each market for skating and training. So this is kind of an idea of how that all works out amid the COVID-19 pandemic as numbers continue to skyrocket across Canada and the United States. So, Burgess writes, "Despite the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic across North America, the six teams of the National Women's Hockey League are attempting to prepare for an upcoming season, even if they don't know exactly when that season will start, when games will happen, or let's be honest, if the season will even happen at all. Now, before I continue, I have to note, for those of you who are watching Barn Burner Live, we may or may not have dropped a bomb last Thursday, so something to keep an eye on. Anyways, that to be said, the NWHL's fifth season ended in a smolder. The Isabel Cup final was all set to be played between two of the league's best teams, the Boston Pride and the Minnesota Whitecaps. The championship was postponed and eventually canceled due to the pandemic, and the league named the Pride and Whitecaps co-champions. So, in a normal year, the NWHL would have begun its sixth season in early or mid-October. Given the ongoing pandemic, social distancing requirements, and gathering limitations, the league has now pushed back its season start to sometime in January, although no schedule has been released yet." So, to that note, Burgess continues, "There's also, of course, a continued closure of the U.S.-Canadian border ahead of the first season where the NWHL plans to have a Canadian team, the Toronto Six. And of course, even if the league is able to play, there will still likely be limitations on gatherings. This would likely mean few or no fans permitted in the stands if games are played, a consequence that would have a heavy impact on league revenue and visibility. Although any meaningful hockey may still be months away, I wanted to get a sense of what the NWHL's teams were doing during this time, practicing, following social distancing and COVID-19 protocols, trying to prepare for a real hockey season. I spoke to at least one member of each team, save for the Boston Pride, to see what each market is currently going through. Note, the Boston Pride respectfully declined to be interviewed and said that they are waiting to speak on the season until the league officially releases the schedule and all the details. So, in general, teams are practicing twice a week, as well as doing off-ice workouts, using this time as a sort of extended training camp to hone their skills, improve special teams, and build team chemistry. Most players are with their teams at this point, but a few Canadian players have not yet made the journey across the border. And we have to note that, again, this is due to border restrictions. So when you see that the challenges of trying to get the sticks into play, this is just another one of them, as players are trying to figure out, when and how to get to their teams respectively. So to that note, Connecticut Whale forward Casey Anderson said, "There's a large list of COVID protocols that we follow that the league's COVID board has put together for everyone's safety. We also have to follow state protocols at our rink. We get tested every week and we have to fill out a questionnaire online before practice asking how we feel that day. Across the league, players are required to wear face masks except when on the ice. Teams are generally spread out into two locker rooms and players are tested weekly for COVID-19. They're also not allowed to enter the rink too early before practice, which is quite a change for most players who would normally arrive more than an hour before their ice time." So, while protocols at the rink are pretty standard, it's more than just what happens in the locker room and on the ice, said Metropolitan Riveters general manager Kate Whitman-Annis. It's also about what players do away from the rink with regards to social distancing, wearing face masks, washing their hands, and following other protocols to help avoid getting or spreading the coronavirus. So to that end, Kate Whitman-Annis said, "It's so hard right now. Everything changes every 5 seconds. It's being able to be flexible and understanding while still knowing that we're asking a lot of our players. We ask a lot of our players every year, and this year it's even more because what they do when they're not on the ice directly impacts our team and our players and then all of our families." Whitman-Annis continued, "We have people whose parents are immunocompromised. We have people with babies. There's a whole bunch of different things that go into this season right now that people need to be aware of and be on board with. We talk a lot about that, the commitment that we're making to each other, and I think that's really important." Kayla Menigan is an NWHL veteran, but she's now getting ready for her first season with the Buffalo Buttes. After 2 years with the Whale, Menigan has moved to Western New York, where she's living with four of her teammates, three of whom are also new to the organization. So she said, "The difficult part is not coming to practice an hour early and preparing in that aspect, but everything else is going pretty well. Obviously, the Canadians haven't been able to cross the border yet, but we have a decent number at practice, so it's been very competitive so far." Now, this part of the article from Burgess is labeled an extended training camp of sorts. "Prepping for a season that is still months away following an extended offseason in the midst of a pandemic is certainly a different experience than what players are used to." Menigan said the Buttes often have small inter-squad games during practices to try and keep up the level of competition, even though it isn't the same as an actual game. They're also focused on their off-ice workouts and recovery to stay in shape. Buttes goaltender Kelsey Newman said they're working on some of the small things, including team building on and off the ice. Now, to that end, Newman said, "It's giving a chance to fine-tune a lot of skill-based things, getting the focus on a lot of the things that last year maybe we got rushed into doing before the season started. I think this year we're really getting a chance to work on some of those basic skills that we don't always get the time to work on." The Buttes aren't the only ones working on their team chemistry, of course. And to that note, Casey Anderson said, "I've used this extended preseason to recover and prepare for the upcoming season mentally and physically. This will also be good for us and the other teams having a chance to really work on skills, systems, and game chemistry, so we're ready to put the best product on the ice come January." Like others, Minnesota Whitecaps goaltender Allie Moore said her team is also using these extra months as an extended training camp. So, to that end, Moore said, "Practice took a little longer to start up, so Amanda Levier and I got a chance to get our goalie skates in first and get our feet under us before practices started," Moore said. "Other than that, it's pretty much business as usual." Now, Toronto Six defender Lindsay Eastwood is preparing for her rookie season in the NWHL again, as we noted, coming off four successful seasons at Syracuse, during which she became the school's all-time leading goal scorer among defenders and will now play with some star players and against former teammates such as Brooke Avery from the Metropolitan Riveters. So, So far, the transition from college to pro hockey seems to be going well for her. To that, Eastwood said, "It's a lot different. I'm not on the ice as much as I usually am, but it's been a different transition. It almost feels less stressful. I don't know if that's because I was older on the team Syracuse, and now I'm a rookie and young in the league. I don't have to worry about school now, so it's nice to just get the workday done, and that's it. Hockey is like my escape now," Eastwood added, "where sometimes in university, I dread going to practice. I really enjoy it now." So, what to expect? So, if the NWHL season does finally get underway, what can you expect from each of these teams? As the Whitecaps prepare to defend their co-championship, they're returning a solid number of last year's roster, which should help them find their way to the top of the league once again. So, to that, Ali Morris would go on to say, "As long as the Whitecaps have been in the league, we've had a pretty consistent roster, which obviously year to year helps. We've got a good amount of size with us now, which I don't think has been a problem for us, but I think it'll help adding a bit more size. Obviously, we've still got our speed with us, so I think it'll just be a vamped up version of the Whitecaps." Meanwhile, Connecticut are trying to find out a way to move up in the standings after finishing the 2019-20 season at the bottom of the league with only 2 wins and 6 points. To that, Anderson said, "We've added a lot of size to our roster. We'll have a lot of characteristics of the Whale team everyone caught a glimpse of from the second half of the season, with some added size and offensive depth from our new forwards and D. I'm biased, but I think we'll have the best goalies in the league." Menegan is joining the Buttes team with a healthy mix of NWHL rookies and veterans, and says the Buffalo squad this year is trying to step up its defensive game. The Buttes allowed the most goals in the league last season with 116. So to that, Menegan said, "We've talked a lot about defense. I think that's going to be huge for our team, obviously scoring goals, but in order to score goals, you need to play great defense. So I think that's going to be our focus heading into the season." The Riveters also have a significant number of returning players, which Whitman Annis said is a positive for this team. So to that, she said, "It's so nice to be able to renew those relationships. They're faster than I've ever seen them, which is great. I think speed is something we wanted to build in the offseason, so we did that. Scoring is also something we wanted to build. We were super excited to welcome Babs, being Kelly Babstock. She and Emily Janiga and Kendall Cornine, that group, they work so well together, and that was expected, that she was going to skate with one, if not both of them. So that is a right on target and as preparations for puck drop in January continue." So second last but not least, we look at the Toronto Six. The Six are entering their first year in the NWHL, but expect them to be competitive right from the get-go. Eastwood noted the speed of the Six, as well as their strength, as two aspects that will help the team get far. So to that, Eastwood said, "I think we have a really talented team. There's a lot of experience, even though we're new to the league. There's some really experienced players like Cheyenne D'Arcangelo, who's played world championships, and the list goes on. Some leaders and great experience that I can look up to as a younger player and learn from." In Boston, the Pride look to be another sharp team, as they've been continually during the league's existence. The return of players such as McKenna Brand and Lovisa Solander, combined with newcomers including BU alumna Sammy Davis, the first overall pick in this year's NWHL draft, means that Boston will once again be icing a team with some incredible talent. At this point, the NWHL's sixth season is still expected to begin in January, although no official schedule has been released and much is still up in the air, depending on the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and the status of the pandemic in each of their respective locales. So, Burgess continues, "Even if they don't know exactly when the season will begin, or at this point, if it will, or what it will look like when it does, the players, coaches, and executives are just happy to be back at the rink." Before I conclude with the final paragraph from Burgess, the Buffalo Buttes recently did a small cohort skate in which Pete Parham is working with some of the Canadian players, which include Taylor and Hunter Akersey. Anyways, continuing on, Burgess writes, "However, COVID-19 continues to spread rapidly in both the United States and Canada, with record-breaking numbers of new daily cases in both countries. The United States, of course, is blowing every other country on Earth out of the water, with 163,000 new cases on November 12th alone, and no sign of these numbers trending downward." Apologies. So, on the same day, Canada reported 5,000 cases, much lower, but still a record daily high. The next few months could change the NWHL's plans altogether, not to mention everything else. So, That gives you an idealistic look at what's going on in the National Women's Hockey League in terms of practices to this point in time. Again, we have to keep in mind that this isn't perfect by any means, and we're going to continue to see how this shapes out in the next month and a half, and hope that a puck drop in January does go ahead with the timeline that was put together in July. You know, obviously talks continue within the front office. I do know that much. You know, I can't really say much to what plans are, but nor can anyone. So we're going to have to wait and see what that does look like. You know, obviously there are some ideas, and one of those ideas I'm aware of. But, you know, for the time being, we're going to see, just given that over the last month or so, I've heard different conversations and different, you know, ideals from people familiar with the situation. And that's obviously given the Canada US border situation. So that being said, I think what I want to do to wrap up the last 15 or so minutes of this episode is I wanted to touch on something that's really important in terms of, you know, trying to grow the game. And, you know, why wouldn't we? So to that end, here's what I am going to note at this point in time. And that is a conversation with Kaylee Hutchison from the Metropolitan Riveters. And so to that note, I sat down and spoke with her at length, as well as her brother, Nick, from the Adirondack Thunder of the ECHL, just over a week ago, and they were both a pleasure to have on. So with that said, I want to get you guys familiar with you know, what both their situations look like, but I am going to focus on this one with Kaylee. So to that note, I did this project with my colleague Armand Klisovich. He's already kind of started writing our feature piece, which eventually will be able to be found at thepuckauthority.com hopefully later this week. And so just to give you an idea of some of the conversation that we've had with Kaylee, this is kind of what the kind of thing that you can expect once the piece is better shaped together in the coming days. So that said, Kaylee Hutchison spent her collegiate career at the University of Maine, where she spent 4 years playing for the Black Bears. When speaking on the growth of college hockey, Kaylee mentioned that the NWHL formed in her freshman year of college and gave her something to look forward to. 4 years later, while studying, Kaylee would find out that she had been drafted by the Metropolitan Riveters in the fifth round of the 2018 NWHL draft. To that, Kaylee said, "I was taking midterms at the time and I was studying. I didn't really want to watch it because I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. The Connecticut Whale and Metropolitan Riveters were both interested in the 5-4 forward at the time. It would be a call from Kaylee's coach at UMaine telling her that she had been drafted by the Ribs that would leave her speechless. She also made sure to mention that she beat her brothers to it." So, that being said, growing up in Long Island, hockey isn't the most well-known sport, which led both Hutchisons to head out to play hockey in college. Just last season, Long Island University started up a men's and women's hockey program, and both of the siblings said it's a huge move for Long Island. So this is a statement from Nick that talks about girls hockey on the island. "There are a lot of girls on Long Island who play hockey and mentioned how huge it is for the women's game in particular. Nick would go on to mention how he would have considered playing at Long Island University if they had a program when he was looking at colleges." So the Riveters have currently moved homes for the 2020-21 NWHL season, and they will be playing out of Montclair State University Ice Arena. This move not only gives the Riveters a new home, but also gives them a golden opportunity to grow the game with multiple girls' teams also playing out of the same arena. She also mentions how it's not only girls that are going to be able to help grow the game as well, but it's young boys as well. And just being in that environment surrounded by an NWHL team helps get the word out. Now, as part of their transition at Montclair State Ice Arena, we have to remember that part of this also means that certain players will be running, skate clinics there. And that includes Sonia Shelley, Emily Janiga, among a couple of others. I believe Kaylee Hutchison might be in the mix as well. Anyways, since joining the NWHL, one thing that has benefited the Hutchisons is that Kaylee's family can now attend games in person instead of online. All right. To that note, we're going to continue talking about Kaylee just a little bit more. So as both siblings are playing hockey, it becomes a challenge to be able to attend the other siblings' games. However, Nick said he was able to make it to the Riveters outdoor game back in December of 2019 in Buffalo. that was between the Riveters and Buttes. Kaylee, like most professional women's players I talk to, that being my colleague, regardless of whether they're in the PWHPA or NWHL, said they continue to agree that at one point the two leagues need to combine to make one league for the women's game to continue to grow. She is, however, proud to be a part of the NWHL and doesn't think the league is going anywhere anytime soon. Now, I've spoken to a lot of players who have really said the same in recent weeks. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how that kind of shapes out and works out. And, you know, it's going to be a question we're asking ourselves for a while. Does NWHL really have a future beyond season six where they can remain paying pro league? And, you know, when does the WNHL come in? What will that look like for these players? What will it mean? And truth be told, we don't know. We have no idea. So, you know, we're going to see what Tyler Tuminia does, who is, again, committed to growing, you know, women's hockey beyond, you know, the borders that she ever has done so in baseball. So, you know, again, before I really conclude today's episode, a special thanks to Danny Ryland Kearney and her team for, you know, their passion, their vision, and their hard work to get the league to this point. You know, I was really thrilled to have the Toronto Six playing in Toronto this year. Again, that remains the hope, though a very dull light, it seems, at this point in time as to that actually happening. That said, they're still going to play, just not in Toronto is what it appears to look like. Again, I could be wrong. The COVID-19 numbers are convincing me otherwise. So, you know, time will tell. That being said, there really isn't a whole lot else going on in the world of women's hockey at this point. But I can tell you, if we're looking at players who might be joining other teams, again, last week I touched on players who are being looked at by respective teams, you know, given that the season goes ahead. Anyways, so I said Rachel Aid was one of them for the Connecticut Whale. Now, another one who I might have not mentioned, and so just in case I will mention, is Mariah Fujimagari. Now, if we take a look at Mariah Fujimagari, she is also skating at this time with the Connecticut Whale, much like Rachel Aid, and she played for the Buffalo Buttes in the NWHL, and so let's take a look at the goaltender. So, Fujimagari played with the Buttes last season, playing 14 games with a GAA of 5.10 and a save percentage of 0.865. Now, she did that with a win-lose tie record of 3-8-0. Now, in the playoffs, she also played one game, but for the statistics, we're not known for that. Now, she did not. She played in 2018-19, making her pro debut in North America, that is. She played in the Canadian Women's Hockey League with the Worcester Blades, and in doing so, she played 16 games with a 6.74 GAA and a save percentage of 0.866. Now, her record was 0-10-0. Not so strong, but, you know, she got stronger. So, anyways, let's move forward, or rather backwards, kind of, if you look back to 2017-18, where she made her pro debut in the EWHL with SKP Bratislava. So in 12 games, the first half, she recorded a GAA of 2.59 and a save percentage of 0.914. And then in the second half with Slovakia, she played another 12 games with a 0.55 GAA and a 0.967 save percentage. In the playoffs, she would go on to play five games with a 2.33 GAA and a 0.870 save percentage. So, you know, this gives you an idea of what's possible. However, you know, her strength is undeniably there. The only concern at this time being is that all teams have their goaltenders in place, and there will be a couple with three on board. That to be said, however, we have to keep in mind that with Fujimagari in this case, the idea is that she will only join the Connecticut Whale, who she is currently skating with, in the event that a goaltender gets injured. Otherwise, she will just remain skating with the team, again, given that the NWHL seem to lock up all its goaltenders. And something that one might ask, and I don't have an answer to this, just thought I'd point out there, is the fact that Fujimagari didn't sign in Toronto. it would have presented a neat opportunity and, experienced goaltender for the Six. But that being said, we have Elaine Chooley and Samantha Ridgewell here playing for the Six. And I think that's really great. Elaine Chooley, who's been playing for the Toronto Furies in the CWHL, played in the PWHPA. And Samantha Ridgewell, also from Canada, from Nova Scotia. And she played in the SDHL. So, lots of experience either way you look at this. So just a point I'm raising, not, figuratively going much further with that. So to that, let's do a quick skim around the NWHL now and see if there's anything else going on. It seems to be rather quiet on this beautifully sunny Tuesday afternoon. Again, we do know that skates are underway. Anyway, so that being said, I think what we're going to do is we're going to end with a piece from Dan Rice, who wrote about the sponsorship of the Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey. So to that being said, let's just kind of skim through this a little bit. I've already read most of this, which is in similarity to the press release. And so that being said, I think we're going to start at the, if you build it, the sponsors will come. And for that National Women's Hockey League, they sure certainly have. So Rice says, over the course of its existence, the NWHL has announced numerous partnerships and sponsors, including current partners Duncan, Twitch, Hyper Ice, May Gray Group, Rocket Sports, Sparks, and K1 Sportswear. So, continuing, a little over a month ago, the Buffalo Buttes announced a sponsorship agreement with Farrell Roofing of Dunkirk, New York. Buttes GM Nathaniel Oliver has also secured three small business partners this offseason: Island Hawaiian Grill, Nickel City Alchemy, and Happy Home Exteriors LLC. So, to that, Oliver said, they do give us sponsorship dollars, but aren't full-blown sponsors like Farrell, he said via text. That's why we call them small business partners. Back in August, the NWHL's newest team, the Toronto Six, announced a partnership with Stark Hockey, who will equip the team with custom sticks, pants, and gloves, as well as bags and off-ice apparel for traveling to and from games. Now, another partnership that the Toronto Six have is a Pew de Loop, where 10% of all proceeds from the shirts, like I mentioned in a previous 6 and 6 episode, are donated to Sick Kids Hospital. So the Six have also partnered with Pew de Loop, a Vancouver-based clothing company. Players and management will collaborate with PDL to release new shirt designs that are reflective of their style. The Minnesota Whitecaps are continuing their partnership this season with Goodwood Hockey, who provides in-game fan apparel, which can also be found on their website, goodwoodhockey.com. The Whitecaps' primary sponsor is Tria, which also owns the naming rights for their home rink, which doubles as the Minnesota Wild's practice rink. So, continuing onwards, on October 22nd, the Boston Pride announced that Harpoon Brewery will be the team's official beer partner for the upcoming season. They will collaborate in co-marketing promotion and events, including virtual happy hours for Pride fans. Last season, the Pride announced partnership with the Boston-based restaurant chain Legal Seafoods. So that kind of gives you an idea of, you know, what the sponsorship dollars and, you know, the game some might reference to looks like throughout the NWHL in terms of, supporting individual teams rather than the league continuing to garner up big sponsors for all of its 6 teams. But nonetheless, it's a, you know, just like the private ownership aspiration that Danny Ryland has with the Women's Hockey Partners, the individual sponsors is a really important way for the NWHL to go at this point in time. We have to remember that, you know, these teams, they might not get that for quite some time. So until they do, they're not getting full-blown sponsorship dollars, as Dan Rice alluded to, and we have to remember that. So in lieu of that, you know, we have to be understanding that these aren't going to last forever. However, they will help get the teams further along until a time when a leading backer joins each market respectively. And that could, again, that could and will take time. So, that is what that is. And we're just going to have to wait and see kind of what that looks like, in the years to come. But, you know, having Toronto jump in April and ever since, you know, become privately owned immediately is a huge step. And Joanna Boynton is the one to thank for that. She was going to work with Tyler Tuminia before she became commissioner of the NWHL. But again, you have to understand that, none of this happens without Danny Ryland and her support to, initiate this process for anyone, any of the six teams. You know, the Toronto Six wouldn't have existed without her, nor would the Minnesota Whitecaps, who were, I believe, a junior team in Minnesota, unassociated from pro hockey at any level. And so with that, Danny Ryland and Jack Brott molded that team together and brought them into the National Women's Hockey League. And so they're now set to start what I believe is their third season. So call it successful, because, you know, I certainly will. And, you know, again, it's not just Danny Ryland, it's Anya Packer, who is the head of the NWHLPA, who speaks out on a daily basis about growing women's sports as a supporter of the NWSL and WNBA. And now that it's the NWHL's turn to, you know, take these lessons and, you know, take these opportunities and grow with it. And I think that that's all these teams want to do at the end of the day. And we're going to continue to see, you know, what that looks like. Again, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. Hopefully it's not years. Much like player signings, we are going to have to wait and see what this looks like. But in the meantime, again, for player signings, you can always keep up to date at www.nwhl.zone. Make sure you are following along on Twitter at NWHL, and along with myself on Twitter at Justin Levine HBS for everything NWHL based. And with that, I have 5 minutes left, so make sure you are following along with me at Puck Authority 1 and at Justin Levine HBS. I will continue to be covering the Toronto Six in depth. And then please make sure you are listening to Tee It Up here every Sunday at 7 p.m. with Lindsay Eastwood and Brooke Avery. And then along with them, this was recently announced that Digit Murphy will be joining the Barn Burner TV network here on Zingo TV channels 250 and 251. And so while I'm not really sure what it is she'll be covering, having a huge voice like that representing the NWHL in any sense is a huge step. So make sure you are following along with that as we kind of garner an understanding of, you know, what it is, A, that she will cover, and B, at the same time, knowing that someone with, you know, the power and the leadership that she has is, you know, just like she is as president and head coach of the Toronto Six, is a huge step forward for this network as it continues to grow on its women's hockey coverage, which, you know, I guess I could say I spearheaded in a way. And to that, thank you to Joe Pasek and Eduardo Harari for that chance. But to that note, it's really quiet otherwise around the National Women's Hockey League. I kind of suspect we might have a busy end of week in the NWHL, but I'm still kind of working on details at this hour. So again, just make sure you are following along on all league socials, and I will try to get those stories out in those bits of news as they come. Only thing I'm going to note is to look out for my story on Kaylee Hutchison in the next couple days, aiming for Thursday, maybe Friday, worst comes to worst. Kind of getting you familiar with her, the Riveter situation, you know, the, you know, thankless, I don't know, need and job of these sponsors to help get these players the necessities and things that they need, you know, get the work off the ground and get them set up for their future of, you know, private ownership, which again, Danny Ryland will continue to work on. She will not stop until she does. And having that individual set now that she stepped away from commissioner just to focus purely on that is crucial, obviously. And, you know, we see, again, sponsors, jerseys, players, you know, she can't be stopped. So, you know, we're going to wait and see what that looks like. But, you know, if you were wanting to keep up with her work, Danny Ryland does tweet every once in a while. You can find her on Twitter at Danny Ryland. So I've got about 3 minutes left, and so I'm just going to do a quick dig. Do note that the Connecticut Whale practiced last week, and we'll be back to practicing this week, as will all other teams, being the Buffalo Buttes, who practice usually on Fridays. The Whale practice usually on Thursdays. The Toronto Six practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The Boston Pride, I'm actually not so sure, as they're kind of keeping things quiet at this time. And the Metropolitan Riveters, also not really sure what day they practice on. However, Brooke Avery will continue to keep that up to date on tee it up here on the Barn Burner TV network and her network on channels 250 and 251. So I've got about 2 minutes left now. So I'm just going to see if I can find anything else I haven't mentioned yet. Okay, so one thing I will mention is the new jerseys that have become available in the National Women's Hockey League. And seemingly they're happening for each team respectively. Right now, the Connecticut Whale have theirs up, and those are up at the Whale's respective shop. So they're for the 2020-21 season, now available in the NWHL merch shop. Grab the jersey of your favorite player today. And again, these will continue to become available along with the shirts that were made to speak out to racial equality and representation of females. So, you know, there's lots of coming up for the NWHL. They're only just beginning. And it's going to, you know, this is a way that you can, you know, help the team financially and represent, you know, women's hockey, women's sport. And, you know, if you're able to, please consider doing this. And in the meantime, the last thing I will make note of, along with that, is make sure you're watching Open Ice on Twitch, which is, you know, happening every week now with Gamer Doc, as they look to, you know, set you up for season 6 in the National Women's Hockey League. And then along with that, the third intermission with Kate Whitman-Annis, who has a couple of players on each week. She has two players on this week. Mallory Rushton is one of them. So make sure you are keeping an eye on the Raiders Twitter feed and NWHL.zone for that. So that does it for me, as it's now 3:25. Again, make sure you are following along with me on my socials at Justin Levine HBS and at Puck Authority 1, along with the puckauthority.com for all your news and coverage as it pertains to the National Women's Hockey League. So that does it for me here on the Barn Burner TV Network and Zingo TV Channel 250. Make sure you continue to follow along with my shows, and you can do that following Barn Burner Net on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So that does it for me, Justin Levine, signing off.